this nectar of devotion, summary study of Rupa Goswami's Bhaktivinoda Samrita Sindhu, the nectarian ocean of spiritual exchange in bhakti. This book is the Krishna Consciousness Handbook for Emotions. It's the Krishna Consciousness Manual for Emotional Living. If you want to understand the relation between emotions in the material world and the spiritual world, and what you have to look forward to, what you have, what is there that you can look forward to in your spiritual development, then this nectar of devotion is essential. It chases away all your impersonalism and voidism so that you can actually feel that the goal is love of Krishna, stimulated by Krishna's qualities, his form, his activities, his pastimes. Everyone likes to be a healthy emotional person, so this nectar devotion is meant to do that. In material life, our emotions are scarred by material experiences. But in the spiritual world, the emotions are full, perfect, and pure. That is the wonder of the nectar of devotion, and there's no book like it, even remotely like it. We'll turn to chapter 18, Character of One in Ecstatic Love, page 135. Where else are you going to find a description of someone in ecstatic love? Let's think about that. Ecstatic love. Such a thing you won't find in the material world, in material relationships. Can you imagine saying to someone, "I really feel ecstatic love for you"? Generally, when people have a good feeling for someone, it's like a warm physical mental feeling. That's all. A connection between two bodies and two minds, giving off some vibrations that mix together. It's not possible on the material plane, outside of devotional service, to experience ecstatic love. Ecstatic love is born of devotional service. We're going to read of 9 symptoms of someone who's developed ecstatic love in Krishna consciousness. Everything can be judged by symptoms. So these are good markers to judge your transcendental progress. This is what you're aiming for in your emotional development in Krishna consciousness. This is what we all are together for, to generate these 9 symptoms of ecstatic love. Okay. Rupa Goswami next describes the characteristics of a person who has actually developed his ecstatic love for Krishna. The characteristics are as follows. Number 1, he's always anxious to utilize his time in devotional service of the Lord. He does not like to be idle. He wants service always, 24 hours a day, without deviation. Well, think about that. Try to see it as your personal goal to aspire to. Number 2, he's always reserved and perseverant. This may seem to be hard, but without being reserved and perseverant, you're not going to always be engaged in devotional service without deviation. So you see, these are related. You won't be always anxious to utilize your time in Krishna's service if you're always discouraged by impediments. Therefore, if you want to keep going in devotional service, you have to learn how to become reserved and persevering, because things in this world don't always go your way. You can see that studying the life of Srila Prabhupada, who demonstrated so wonderfully the path of bhakti. Number three, he's always detached from all material attraction. Number four, he does not long for any material respect in return for his activities. And still, we like the appreciation of devotees. Sometimes that's there, but sometimes not. But at least you can know that Krishna is satisfied and your spiritual master is satisfied. It's also nice to have the appreciation of the Vaishnavas. You're not longing for material respect, but it's certainly the appreciation by devotees is very nice. He is always certain that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon him. He is always very eager to serve the Lord faithfully. He is very much attached to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. He is always eager to describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. He is very pleased to live in a place where the Lord's pastimes are performed, such as Mathura, Vrindavan, or Dwarka. You see, these nine things, they form a full life in Krishna consciousness. A full life of emotion, eagerness, also a full life of aloofness from certain things, aloof from material attraction, aloof from longing for honor and respect. And you're always anxious to utilize your time for Krishna's pleasure. You're hankering for service always. You're eager to serve the Lord. You're very attached to chanting. You're reserved and persevering always. You're eager to describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And you're eager to live in a place where the Lord has his pastimes. So you see, there's a lot of eagerness, and there's some aloofness, and also there's certainty that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon you. These are the characteristics of one in ecstatic love. Please understand that this is what you're aiming to develop. These are the symptoms that appear before full love of God. If you don't know these things, you'll just wonder, well, what's it like to be advanced in Krishna consciousness? Can I just eat less prasad, or what is it like? These are the symptoms here. These nine things form your inner reality. Any questions about these nine characteristics? Haven't you read? It means that just because there's an inconvenient situation, you don't reduce your devotional service. There's a full description given up ahead. example given, I believe, of a formerly rich land owner who, at the end of his life, became a beggar and went even to the houses of his enemies, his former enemies, to beg. When you're on Sankirtan book distribution, you have to be reserved, because not everybody says, yes, I want Krishna. Very much enjoying the Sankirtan reports and nectar statements of how you're meeting people and giving them loving exchanges in Krishna consciousness. It's very nice to hear that. So nice to see how you're extending yourselves to give Krishna to others in such a way that will attract Krishna's pleasure upon you. In this way, your hearts will always stay cleansed. And this distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books gives you something you can every day wrap your hearts around. If you love these books and convey that love to others, then you'll be protected from so many dangers in this world of Maya, world of allurements. To advance more in Sankirtan, your heart has to expand. You have to intensely care about the suffering of these people. You cannot be selfish. I just care about myself and my own feelings of relief from material existence. Because Krishna is blossoming in you, you want Krishna to blossom in others. That is the heart of the Sankirtan devotee. And you're so happy distributing Krishna to others. What you're actually doing is gratifying Krishna's senses. That is the life of Sankirtan devotee, gratifying Krishna's senses. I've explained before, how would you like it if, let's say, Anne overheard that Sue is going all around the city today telling everyone of her good qualities. Wow, yeah. You feel gratified. That's what we mean when we say that the Sankirtan gratifies Krishna's senses. You're spreading Krishna's glories. What's the big deal to understand? If someone spreads your glories, you'll like that. Krishna likes that his name and fame are spread everywhere. Now, Krishna actually has real name, and he really has fame that is worth broadcasting. To broadcast Krishna's glories in the material world requires perseverance, reserve, because it's not like people are falling over themselves to get a chance to hear about Krishna. It is necessary in your emotional development in Krishna consciousness to learn how to relish Krishna in the association of devotees. Chanting together, hearing together, dancing together, taking prasad together. These all form your emotional character in Krishna consciousness. Any questions? So here it is before you, the road ahead. Now just see. Number one, are you always anxious to utilize your time in Krishna's service? You don't like to be idle? You want service always, 24 hours a day, without deviation. These characteristics are far beyond mere liberation from material existence. Why should you be reserved and perseverant in bhakti yoga? Who can say that they're not disturbances? Like sometimes I know it's hard to take rest because there's noise. Something you tolerate. There's always something in this world that causes a disturbance. Now, why will we tolerate in Krishna's service? Because of attachment to Krishna and attachment to pleasing our spiritual master. That's the reason why we undergo austerities. We tolerate disturbances. For personal reasons. Krishna consciousness gives you the best personal reasons why you tolerate, why you're reserved. Let us increase our efforts to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. Let's all try to be more outgoing. Outgoing, not simply in terms of physical outreach, but also in terms of making your heart more outgoing. Begging Lord Chaitanya, please let me do a part in distributing your glories to others. You have people coming here. You should always be praying to Krishna. Please give me the intelligence how to reach these people. Don't take it as a light thing that people are coming here. Take it very seriously and pray to Krishna. How can you reach these people with your glories? What's the best way? How can it be done? When's the right time? Constantly pray like that, and you'll have the basis of a rich emotional life in Krishna consciousness. Make your hopes and aspirations to assist Lord Chaitanya in spreading the flood of love of God. You have to have hopes and aspirations. No one can live without hopes and aspirations. It has to be something burning inside that keeps you going. In the material world, what keeps you going is fruitive desires, karmic desires for karmic activity. What keeps you going in Krishna consciousness is the desire to please Krishna and Krishna's representative. You're emotionally invested in those desires. Anything else? So look at these nine things and think how you're going to develop them in your life. Let me ask you all this. How many of you feel you're still in a stage of coming to Krishna consciousness as a relief from material distress and frustration? Raise your hand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And how many feel that besides whatever longings for relief you have, you're actually starting to feel some attraction for Krishna, his name, fame, glories, pastimes? Raise your hand. To distribute Krishna's glories is the best love. And as for the older devotees, they should understand this love significance of their sankirtan efforts. In they should expand their hearts in this way. I'm sure you all agree, there's nothing like the taste of distributing Krishna consciousness to others. And certainly you want to distribute Krishna consciousness to yourself. Now you may be reading because you have to, but one day there'll come a time when you just love to read Krishna's glories. It's a form of relaxation, to say the least, reading Krishna's glories. You can unwind that way. You feel stimulated to advance in love of Krishna. Question about these nine characteristics? Mm-hmm. When you're living in a place where Krishna is glorified, that's also in that category. And then, at the end of your life, you can retire to the holy place. Can live as a widow and go to a Vrindavan. When you're in your 60s, you can put on white and live as a widow in Vrindavan. Associating with those who are eager to talk about Krishna. Krishna Katha talks about Krishna such that the more you indulge in him, the more your appetite increases. When you hear about Krishna and read about Krishna, don't do it in a kind of deadheaded way. Really keenly try to understand the significance of what Prabhupada is pointing out. Think about it. How Krishna performs activities in this world, although he's the unborn. And how is it that his activities are free from all material contamination? Think about those things. Reaction to what you read. Notice how some things are more difficult to read than other things. Some things bring out certain responses from you. You'll learn a lot about yourself by watching your own responses to what you're reading. You'll see your impersonalism exposed, your lusts and greeds and envy exposed. try to do this. While you're reading Prabhupada's books, watch your reaction to various things that are said. Yes, if you serve Krishna while you're awake, then you'll start to think of Krishna while you sleep. Like last night when I was sleeping, I was dreaming, but I was chanting and wondering, am I pronouncing the words properly? He's always certain that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon him. You haven't read Nectar Devotion?
No.
The famous verse by Rupa Goswami is given. I don't have any attraction for the process of hearing and chanting. I wasn't born in a good family. I've basically got nothing good going for me. But still, I have this hope that I'll attain Krishna. Material life is full of false hopes, but Krishna consciousness also has hope. That hope is for real. That's why I'm reminding you, these nine characteristics are describing hopes and aspirations and eagerness and anxiousness and aloofness. The full emotional spectrum is here. Character one in ecstatic love. Now, within the Association of Devotees, we can see our future in terms of developing these qualities. It's not like these qualities are something we never had. No, we are reviving our love for Krishna. We're not creating our love for Krishna. We're reviving something that's already there. You had a question? Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you read under the section? Page 137. Great hope. Cool.
I'm sure I'm going to be disconnection from
emotional. Mm-hmm. Very important for giving you some idea of what your future in Krishna consciousness is like. Don't you think it would be good to know those things? Otherwise you think, well, what am I gonna, you know, what's it gonna be like some years from now? If I do continue to follow the process of bhakti yoga, I mean, what's my internal life gonna be like? Right now, you know, some days I'm fired up, some days I'm a little down, some days a little confused. What am I gonna be like inside in, you know, who knows, 10, 15 years, if I stick to this that long? What will I be like? Did you think like that? What is your conclusion? Anyone else thinks about that? What will you be like 10, 15 years? Will you be different? I'll tell you, yes, you will be different. You'll be like a mango that started out green and then that same mango is getting ripe. In the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, you're like an unripe mango. But the longer the mango stays in the sun, the more ripe it gets and juicy. So internally, you'll change. A treasure house of spiritual taste will develop inside you. Externally, it may look like you're doing the same thing. The materials may look that way, but internally, inside you, there's a world of difference. Just think, it's possible that in the future you can be satisfied chanting Hare Krishna. Wouldn't that be amazing? What do you think? Wouldn't that be amazing? You could be satisfied chanting Hare Krishna? Thinking that's all I need. You think that's possible? And you think it's possible? Huh? Can you imagine talking to some of your associates 10 or 15 years from now? You know, I'm just happy chanting Hare Krishna. I really don't want anything else. Can you imagine saying something like that? Huh? If you want that future, then you have to work for it. You have to train. Work on yourself. That means arranging your life so, as stated in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, you mold your life so you can't live for a moment in peace without hearing the glories of the Lord. Remember that verse in the fourth canto? Instruction, I believe, by Sanat Kumar to Maharaj Prithu. You should mold your life so you cannot live for a moment in peace without hearing the glories of the Lord. That takes work, commitment, a proactive attitude towards your life. I'm going to arrange my life so that I can be attracted to Krishna. What would you do if I said, okay, give me a plan how you're going to arrange your life so you can be attracted to Krishna? What would you say? Hmm? Alright, you do that? Alright. Yeah? How would you mold your day? Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me you're going to be satisfied just to do that? A young man like you, healthy and... Don't you want something more in your life? You mean to tell me you're going to be satisfied simply by hearing and chanting Krishna's glories? Yes, if you endeavor and stick to it, you'll get the result. What are your experiences thus far? How does Maya batter? Some of the bewilderments. Why do you have to switch off? In the shop, some attractive girl comes in and asks you to help her try on 10 different kinds of glasses or something.
Oh, no, not that one. But this one. What do you think? The polka dot ones? How do they look on you?
Huh? Work more for Krishna, don't just work for yourself. Then it will be easier to think of Krishna. Don't just work for your bodily maintenance, that's very boring. Make your work an offering to Krishna. Yes, one has to save something for the future and meet expenses, but don't simply work for maintaining the body or maintaining the bodies of others in the future. Naturally, you can think that in the future you want to have a Krishna conscious household that requires money. Okay. Still, that's maintenance. Don't simply work for maintenance. Have some connection through your work to the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Contribute something for spreading of Krishna consciousness. And then you'll be more favorably inclined toward your work. You won't have to do this kind of turning yourself off. The whole experience will become more holistic. How does that sound? How long have you been practicing Krishna consciousness for? Fully? Fully.
2 years, fully.
So where do you get your taste from? Now, where does your taste come from? You're not clubbing, you're not going to the movies. Where do you get your taste from? Yes, there's no doubt. If you can maintain yourself just by, if you can maintain your contentment just by hearing and chanting about Krishna, then you're very fortunate. You can see your problem is that your senses have become peaceful in Krishna consciousness. You've lost that material hunger, that appetite for material, you know, you don't have that ambition, material ambition. That means you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. Because your life is filling with Krishna, automatically it's emptying out of the other things. I know some of you are thinking, well, how am I going to do this the rest of my life? What's it going to be like, you know? It seems like I'll be doing the same thing every day. Fingering my beads. Doing various things for Krishna. Running errands or cooking or cleaning or distributing Krishna consciousness. What's going to be different? You'll see the difference in your internal development. Your heart will change. What do you think, Mark? Are you ready for your heart to change? How ready? You need the association of devotees. How old are you now? 39. Brahmachari? That's pretty old. Has fate passed you by? You hope not, huh? How long have you been doing a full sadhana in bhakti yoga?
Over a year.
Over a year? Oh, really? Without break? Since when without a break? Four months. So how do you expect to be in the future? You see yourself having a big bread business? That's right, tonight. I haven't had any of his bread yet, have I? Oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah, he makes good bread, doesn't he? service?
I can read for the
event. Oh, you make bread for all you guys? How long does the bread last? So how do you see your future? Baking lots of bread? You get along with others nicely? Oh, you're a loner. Let's have a concert. Oh, okay. What's the group called? The Bachelors? The Bachelor Brothers or what? But I'm serious. I'd like that. You know, everyone thinks about their future, how they see themselves developing. Just like for you, it's an important question. You're 39. Is that it for you? In this lifetime, are you going to be single or not? How do you see yourself growing in Krishna consciousness? You should be able to visualize that based on these characteristics that you're reading here. This is what you want to develop towards internally. These are your emotional goals here. It's fun to have emotional goals. Rupa Goswami is describing your emotional formation in Krishna consciousness. So therefore I ask you seriously, how do you see yourself developing? Of course, I can understand that one may still be in the stage of feeling relief from material suffering. And you just ran out of the burning house and you're just kind of still in that stage. My point is, it's natural that all of you think about, what will I be like in some years, Unless you read Nectar of Devotion, you won't know what you're going to be like. Nectar of Devotion is giving you pictures of yourself at different spots along the path of spiritual advancement. If you don't understand this Nectar of Devotion in terms of how it's presenting you with snapshots of various phases of spiritual development. You know what you're going to think?
Oh,
what's my future going to be? Just another 2 or 3 years? Living with the girls in the ashram? Oh. You know, another 2 or 3 years of just, you know, working at the eyeglass place and coming back and no sense gratification and just hearing and chanting about Krishna? Oh, is that going to be my whole life? You'll wonder like that. Unless you have a full understanding of internal development. Krishna consciousness is very mystical. So I would like that you'll have a rich internal life. Everybody should see how they're going to develop internally. Have some vision based on nectar devotion of what's supposed to be happening inside you. It's like I can see Stu developing as a nice householder in Krishna consciousness, exemplifying balanced living, simple living, responsibility, earnestness. Someone who's willing to pay the price for accepting household life. See Carrie chanting Hare Krishna, distributing Krishna consciousness, retiring as an old lady in India. Coming to see her to ask for advice. I can see Dai one day married in Krishna consciousness, telling her husband, you know, it's all right with you, but I really just like to go out and do books. Krishna consciousness involves internal development. Your insides are going to change if you properly execute the process. Just look at how you've changed already. If you've been following the regular principles, if you've been chanting Hare Krishna with attention and trying to render some service, your insides change. You start to become full inside of spiritual taste. And that's what attracts others to Krishna consciousness. They sense that about you, that you're full of spiritual taste inside. And by reading this Nectar of Devotion, you'll see laid out in front of you the various stages of emotional development in bhakti. Otherwise, you'll start to think, oh, am I always going to feel this way? Will it ever get any better? Very simply. Brahmachari life is the best ashram. It could be inconspicuous. This is not so you can't be inconspicuous. Friend here. How do you see your future unfolding in Krishna consciousness? are you?
34.
Wow. Getting up in the years. Isn't your family in India pressuring you? Come back and pick somebody and then bring her overseas too, and both of you can make money and send her back to India. Right? I know. They're not pressuring you. Remember Harish? He's still a bachelor. He's saying he wants to remain a brahmachari. He's one young man. He's not 34. I think he's must be about 31 or 32 by now. He's from Bangalore. He came to Krishna consciousness here. Now he's back in Bangalore. He went back and he made his whole family devotees. They were smart to brahmanas. Brahmanas by birth, so-called. And he went back and just thought he was reading the books and offering his food. And what is this? What have you got into? Then they started doing it too.
I've been alluding to do that to my practice for 3 years or such. And it's really changing me.
Mm-hmm. First, a little puzzled.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that we are an irreligious family. We believe in the gods. We drive by the temple in Bombay. We. But then they start to think about it, right? Maybe he's doing something right. Maybe it's something we should be doing. Yes, when they start to think about it. First they're puzzled. What? We're good Hindus? We celebrate Diwali? Sachi can tell you about his mother. When he first introduced me to her. Who else was with her then? Your sister. So he introduced me to her, and then he, right in front of her, he said, kind of, she's a TV watcher. No, I said that, right? I said something about television, or did you?
Yeah,
I asked his mother if she should cut down on watching television. She kind of, to me, looked at you like, did you tell him? And then she grabbed him and took him aside the end of the room and started. Don't you know better than to tell the sadhus about what we do at home? So she took him aside and. And now she's chanting her 16 rounds and reading Bhagavatam. Prabhupada always said about India, he said, Krishna consciousness is there, just under the surface. Just under the surface. Due to bad leadership, it's been obscured, but it's just under the surface. Thank you. You have to make some attempt to help them. But the village was in India?
Yeah, because there was an Indian village, so
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you don't find the village.
Yourself in the coming years. big changes? You'll be content to live a simple life? Or do you have in mind to be some kind of female business executive? So what do you have in mind? You're going to be satisfied with that? You're not going to want a big house? A big car? No? You just want to live a simple life? What about you, Stu? How old are you now? 22. What about you, Ann? Is that going to satisfy your internal needs? How old are you? 23. So please remember my point, that the nectar devotion is providing you with a picture of what your internal development is going to be. If you don't know these things, you won't have any idea how to visualize yourself in the coming years. You'll be making progress if you continue to follow the regular principles and chant Hare Krishna, render service to Krishna. You'll be making progress in attraction to Krishna. You'll become more conscious of Krishna. The great luxury in Krishna consciousness is that you can look back each year, and if you've been following the process faithfully and properly, each year you'll look back and see how you have progressed internally. Let's say, Stu, you can look back and see that, I'm different than what I was last year. Internally, I feel I've made some progress, right? That you can always have. What disturbs this natural progression in Krishna consciousness is when devotees don't follow the regular principles, or they stop their sadhana. Then that is what creates that fragments there. Spiritual sense of wholeness, so they can't look back and see year after year how things are just getting better and better and better internally. Sometimes devotees have problems in Krishna consciousness. They stub their toe a bit. So, you gotta pick yourself up again. Because you remember when you used to do everything properly. Anything else? Yes. Ha ha ha. you know. Poor brahmachari, you know. Few possessions and, you know, just simple life, you know. To develop spiritually in dissociation of the opposite sex, then you can't do that as a brahmachari. Do you really think that you would dare consider such? Talk about that. That's interesting. It's cheaper being a brahmachari, right? Certainly less complicated. Female life gets complicated because of their expectations of each other. It's interesting. The life of a brahmachari seems to be very menial, but actually there's so much freedom. It's freedom and simplicity. And being a menial servant. Your anxieties are so low because your life is so simple and menial. Interesting you're thinking like that. But then you have to decide, are you willing to pay the price? The brahmachari is devoid of those wonderful creatures. Fill your life with mirth and merriment. So you have to have a plan. Can you spend some years, all your years, or none of your years doing this? Interesting. It's true. There's no law that says just because you're 30, you have to, yeah. You're kind of at the junction. And it's true. There's no harm. You're 30 years old, spending 2 years as a brahmachari or something, there's no harm. It's like our Bhakta Tim. Melbourne got married not some months ago, 3 or 4 months ago. He had a plan. He told me about 5 years ago, I'm going to be a brahmachari for 4 or 5 years when I'm married. So he did sankirtan every day for 4 or 5 years. Then he looked around, saw what was the best merchandise in the market. And grabbed it, you know, and that was a very well thought out way to do things. What do you think, Anne? That was a well thought out way to do things, wasn't it? No, like, sudden, love struck attack, you know. Oh, I think I'm like, he had it planned out very logically. He told me many years ago. I'll do Sankirtan, I'll be a Brahmachari for 4 or 5 years, and then I want to. So he just locked in as a Brahmachari for 4 or 5 years, solid performance. Sankirtan every day. Traveling Sankirtan, and then? Mm-hmm. All right, that's it. Now I'm ready to get married. And he looked around to see what would be the best Krishna conscious choice. Towards the Bhagavatam. Teach it to others. But if you're too skinny, you'll scare them away. They won't listen to you. Is this what you look like when you become Krishna conscious? What do you think, Stu? Someone looking as pale as him came to tell you the glories of Krishna consciousness? Oh, thanks. It looks like you guys starve. It reminds me, did I tell you? When I was in Bombay, I don't know if I told you, I was speaking at IIT, India Institute of Technology, and it's like the premier technological school in India. It's considered the supreme destination for parents to send their kids there. You have to pass a test, only the cream of the cream is accepted. So I was speaking to these students there, maybe 15 of them who were practicing full Krishna consciousness. And there were also some brahmacharis with me. One of them had even graduated from IIT, but he was a brahmachari. And the others were also university students from other places. And so we had breakfast, and there was some very nice homemade ice cream, natural fruits in it. So, they put a big bowl in front of me. The brahmacharis, they serving. And the students were eating outside. So, I just took a little bit, finished very quickly. And washed my hands and mouth and went outside to see what the students were doing. I was discussing with the students who were starting their practice at Krishna consciousness, and they all had the same question, like, don't you need a little sense gratification? We've heard that, you just take a little, like a pinch of salt, and, shouldn't there be a balance, of the material and the spirit? Their anxiety was that they are attracted to Dharma. They like Krishna consciousness, but at the same time, they're feeling, you've got to have some material desires, don't you? And, so I could see they were just kind of like getting mental about it, you know what I mean? So, they're kind of revealing their mind in an Indian style that way,
Maharaj,
yes, you want to serve Krishna, but shouldn't there also be other things too? And how can it be possible that someone can totally turn his back on material attraction? they were going on like that. Getting hung up on these kind of things. And so, then the brahmacharis, after about 20 minutes of this, the brahmacharis came out. They had finished their meal and dessert and came out. And so I looked at the brahmacharis and I said to these students, What do you think's going on? Do you think these guys, these brahmacharis, are suffering? Or, well, you know, look at them. They look like they're suffering. Why are you guys so mental? I said to the students, let me look at them. They look like they're suffering. Then it hit me. I said, by the way, I asked the brahmacharis, did you bring any ice cream for the students? And the brahmacharis kind of looked. I turned to the students and said, just see, you guys, while you guys were mentaling out, you know, about whether there's sense dedication to Krishna consciousness, the brahmacharis ate all the ice cream. You guys are going on and on whinging, you know, whining, no, Swami, there should be something, there should be, you know, isn't there room for something? Then you better get into Krishna consciousness. And while you're asking that and wondering how someone could be a brahmachari and thinking the brahmacharis must really be suffering, meanwhile the brahmacharis ate all the homemade ice cream. So the students were there, you know, just on the mental platform, oh, Swami, can there be some sense gratification in bhakti? Meanwhile, the brahmacharis come out with, you know, smiles on their face, you know. I told the students, can't you see what's going on? You know, you guys have missed the plot, you know, you lost the plot. Can't you see what's going on right under your eyes? You're on the mental platform wondering, you know, if you become, you know, fully Krishna conscious, if you become a brahmacharya, you know, how can you do it? There's no sense gratification. Meanwhile, the brahmacharyas have just plundered all the ice cream. And they're fully satisfied. And you guys, you know, are on the mental wondering, oh, if I take up Krishna conscious fully, I mean, even if I become a brahmacharya, won't I, you know, I mean, there won't be any sense gratification. So they actually got the point. You know, in India they don't kind of say, you know, out loud that they got the point. They just kind of, like that, you know, real quick movement of the eyes, like, it clicked, you know. Prasad like that these poor girls are eating every day. Especially with Chloe making lunch. Every lunch a work of art or something. Huh? Yeah. The main sense is the tongue. That is the most powerful sense. If the tongue is satisfied, then all the other senses can be pacified. Sense control starts with your tongue. If you can control your tongue, there's every possibility of controlling all the other senses. So, Chloe, you're helping them with their sense control program. Who introduced you to Krishna consciousness, Sarah? Chloe, how did you went? You met somebody at art school, or how did you? Oh, here.
Yeah.
Ah. So, what attracted you when you met them at art school? They look different.
Yeah.
Who started talking to you first, Juliet or Sarah?
Sarah.
Do you remember Juliet? Juliet, do you know who started talking first? She asked, what are you guys about? Anything else? It's been an interesting discussion. What about you, Di? How do you see your future? It's good you ladies have this training. Because you'll learn how to be self-sufficient in Krishna consciousness, family life, which most of you will enter, certainly most of you will enter into family life. You know, it's tough sometimes, you know. But you'll be able to remember these years of simplicity, living a simple life, eating Chloe's lunches. You remember, when you have your own house, you gotta clean it, wash the dishes, wash the clothes, take care of the kids. A whole house for yourself to clean, the whole kitchen to have to take care of yourself every day. All the clothes to wash every day. Not only for yourself, but for other bodies. Every day. So you'll remember these years. And you'll remember it's possible to live simply. Of course, mothers are responsible for the next generation. They bring into the world and train the next generation. I had a good mother who always tried to train me, both materially and spiritually. She taught me how to travel when I was 5. She would make me catch the bus to the city library in New York City when I was 5 years old. Now she regrets it. She said, I should have taught me how to travel. I taught me how to be too independent too early. Mothers have that responsibility to raise the next generation. Kate. remember. I still remember the first time I saw Kate at a workshop at the loft of Auckland. I remember the first time I took it. I said, this girl is a devotee. She was there with her pair of frizzled feet. I thought that was the way it was, you know? That's the style. Huh?
That's how it was.
Yeah, that's how it was. Is that what you, I mean, do you do that? You style it like that, or that's when it's not style? Or just. Kate worked at a bookshop at the Auckland University. Bookshop. Nice to go there. Used to give me discounts or something. So, what do you see your future? How old are you now? You got some time. You have a few years of freedom left. Jen, did we ask you? How old are you now? 28. Hmm? So what? Somebody told me you, when you were a little kid, you had an ambition to be a nurse in Ethiopia or something? Huh? Huh? That is it. Well, isn't this an adventure here? You have to train up another manager. You want to learn how to manage, Chloe? Train others how to organize. Maybe Sue. You like to organize things? Constantly pass on skills to others so things grow. But you know, teach to others. So you want some adventure before nesting time. Thank you. like adventure. Something to write a travel book about. Wrestling crocodiles in the Amazon or something. Is that it? Jen wandered around India alone for a year, riding the trains, everything alone. India, Nepal. Yeah. Now we'll have to see. I think right now she's very much needed here, isn't she, Terry? Everybody should know how to do things in Christian service. Okay, so guess we'll look forward to seeing everyone tomorrow morning. What time? Interesting discussion. Some surprises. Juliet, what will become of you? Embark upon an adventure, huh?